we can find joy in our receptivity and openness to allowing Jesus to live in us, no matter what might be going on internally, for us to then bring Jesus out into the world.
Are women encouraging and equipping women to universally and uniquely serve Christ in their feminine vocation.
By embracing joy, laughter, freedom, and friendship, we are seeking to thrive in the trenches of our domestic churches.
Welcome to Thriving in the Trenches podcast. This is Becky Carter.
And this is Megan Schreiber, and you are listening to episode number 6, where we will be talking about joy, which is one of our four pillars. And today we are super excited to have a special guest on our show. Megan Mastriani is joining us today, and Megan is the Associate Director of Youth and Young Adult Ministry for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Megan, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, Megan, we were hoping you would share just a little bit about your journey and what has brought you to this season in your life.
It's been quite the journey. But yeah, I am from upstate New York. I think I'm practicing my faith because of my Nona. She couldn't speak a lick of English, so she like double fisted her rosaries all day long and just prayed for her, you know, ragamuffin grandchildren, I suppose. Because I didn't really have much of a faith growing up. It wasn't really like a part of our life. You know, we were kind of culturally Catholic. So my brother Tom went on a confirmation retreat and had a complete change of heart, change of life. And he really fought for me, really brought me into the faith. He would bribe me with, like, you know, cute boys at youth group and money and stuff. Whatever it takes, right? He saw me going nowhere pretty quick. But I blame that partially on him because he kind of paved the way for that, like, rebellious party lifestyle until he changed and everyone at the school was calling him Father Tom. But he's not a father. He's married. He has 4 kids. So anyway, he really fought for me, brought me into the youth group. And, it was really through youth group that I got into my faith. And from there, I knew that, I needed to have a really solid support group and community life. And if it wasn't really good, then I was so weak that I wouldn't be able to sustain it in college. So I went to Franciscan University, and it was really at Franciscan that I was formed, you know, that I was rooted. I was like a sponge. I remember getting there the first day and people talking about a holy hour. I mean, the first day. Okay, this does not happen on any other college campus.
Right? It's so true.
Like, it's a cesspool of hell on like every other college campus. And, you know, Franciscan is like this other world. And so I remember like not knowing what the heck a holy hour was, but being like, well, I want to do it. So I did it like every day. And, I just really wanted to know the Lord. I really wanted to love him and to serve him. And I prayed fervently to be an instrument in his kingdom when I was in college. Like I just had this deep desire. And, I also idiotically prayed for suffering because, you know, I read all about the saints and they all suffered, but they loved it. Like, all right, well, I guess if that's the way to do it, then sign me up. So, you know, I'm very blessed. I think that actually this, I didn't even think about this, but, kind of ties in perfectly with what we're about to talk about with joy. Yeah, you know, I am very blessed, and he has given me great joy, but I've definitely suffered a lot, and it has not been easy, and since post-college, there's been so much grace, and he has opened up these doors that I laugh at. So even in my ministry, I'm like, you want me to do that? You want me to speak in front of that many people? You want me to do it? It's like, okay, I guess. And I see the fruit of that prayer now in my life. He's definitely, he has me as an instrument for his kingdom, which is ultimately something I'm very unworthy of. I moved to Philadelphia after graduation. I did some pro-life and chastity work here, public speaking. Then I went to Baltimore to do campus ministry at an all-girls Catholic high school, Mount DeSales Academy. Really, absolutely loved it there. Just adored that school. And the girls had a great, you know, network there of I mean, just ministry was just really, really good. I had such a great, great time there. And God called me back to Philly. It was pretty clear. He told five different people, tell me about this job in the Archdiocese. So I am the, like Megan said, the Associate Director of Youth and Young Adult Ministry for the Archdiocese here. And I've been here since September. So it's pretty exciting. It's good stuff.
It's That's great awesome. Stuff. And Becky, I can't tell you how excited and blessed we are as an archdiocese to have her. Megan's just a total blessing. I mean, obviously you can figure that out in her short testimony and what she shared. So Megan, you know, I reached out to you to be on the podcast because when I've spent time with you, I always come away with like this presence of joy in you. And so we were talking about our pillars and joy is one of them. And I was like, I know who I need to ask. So I'm thankful for your yes. Right away, it's interesting hearing your story and talking about praying for suffering. That's bold, right? That's like really bold. Because too, I think there's almost like a tandem between suffering and joy, which is interesting. One of the things that I thought maybe you could talk about it. It's like when you hear joy, what do you think of?
That's a great question. I think of a person. I think of St. Teresa of Calcutta. And this might sound very cliche. It's cliche because it's true. And she's just such an inspiration for so many people, Catholic or not, not just because of her joy, but because of her love. She was the most beautiful person, like maybe even people of the world could see that her joy was her strength. What St. Paul says, the joy of the Lord was her strength. And even in her sufferings, we learned about this even more after her death, that she was in the dark night for arguably 50 years, but still radiated that joy. I mean, where does that come from? And I guess really, when I think of joy, I think of it as almost like a substance within a person that is directly fueled by the Holy Spirit. The more open one is to the Holy Spirit, the more one is open to God's will and receiving the sacraments, regardless of how they feel, whether they know it or not, whether they're in the dark night or they're on top of the mountain, whatever, that joy is within them, tangible. You can see it. It's a light. Oftentimes. Yeah.
That's beautiful. We think of, you know, joy by definition as a noun is essentially a feeling of great pleasure. That was always my focus. Like, well, I'm not feeling pleasure or this is hard. So how do I find joy in that? But then if you think about the verb meaning of joy, it's simply to rejoice. Okay. Now that I can get my arms around. Right? Because we are called to, no matter what our circumstances are, right, to rejoice, because the reality is we know the best news of the story that ever existed in the world. He rose from the dead. I mean, like, so it's that unwavering, that unshakable faith, where now I'm starting to see that joy is the ability to rejoice in all circumstances.
Yeah. The other thing I think about is joy is a fruit of the Spirit. We can't manufacture anything that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. We have to sit and patiently and with hope, divine hope, that God will answer that prayer for joy. But it may not come in the timing that we think it should come. And as my spiritual director once told me, he said, Becky, God, because this is what I asked him. I said, Father, I have prayed for joy. I feel like I don't have joy. I feel like I'm always just bumbling around and just not happy. But I want joy. I want joy so bad. And if God is good and God is sovereign and he loves me and he wants what is best for me, and that is to grow in holiness, right? Mm-hmm. Then why is he not answering that prayer? And gosh, how many people have probably asked that question? Why isn't God answering my prayer? And he said, Becky, the Lord is preparing you to receive the gift. And he's preparing the people around you for you to receive the gift. Whether he'll use circumstances or other people, but he's preparing you. That was very, it gave me a lot of peace. And it gave me that permission to set an expectation that God will answer it and to still be pursuing him for that joy.
I think that something he said about knowing, like, that God is good and God is sovereign, you know, I think that is also the cause of joy, like this abiding and pervasive sense of knowledge, a sense of well-being that I am loved and that God knows me and God is good. It's almost like this decision. I think joy does come from that knowledge. I've definitely had those same kind of thoughts and feelings, actually, that you're saying. So I can relate to it. And I do, Megan, when you said, you know, that I have joy in the beginning of this podcast, it blesses me because I can honestly tell you that it is purely Christ. Like, I don't, because there are times where I don't feel that either, you know, and I think it's easy to get confused with, you know, joy and almost happiness. Like, happiness is, it's a feeling, just like sadness, and they come and go. And I think there's like a confusion there that Americans right now, I mean, I was just actually reading about this. The study out of Berkeley was saying Americans have to learn to be happy because our vision of happiness is very self-focused. We've been convinced since we've came out of the womb that, you know, to have this like heightened sense of euphoria, you know, from Hollywood and Disney and Instagram, and it's so dramatic. And even when I was in the high school, man, like I working with these girls and like their proposals, it's like this big dramatic dream world. I'm like, this is not real life, girls. You know, I'm like the cynical aunt smoking a cigarette in the back of the room, like, guys, no, it's not. That didn't happen. Yeah. I would have gotten fired, but, anyway, I went off on a few different tangents there, but yeah, I think it does. Like, I think it's beautiful that your spiritual director said that he's preparing you for it, because I do think that is real, that he, even when praying for something for so long, it's like he just widens the desire for it just to fill it. But but that you're probably halfway there, because it's knowing, it's claiming, you know, that gives the, I don't know, basis for joy, claiming who God is and claiming who we are.
Choosing to think on what is true about that situation, you know.
Yeah.
God loves me and he wants what's best for me, and that is to become holy. It's kind of like this line, I guess, I keep telling myself, because I just repeated it verbatim, I guess.
It's a good mantra.
And Megan, when I said that, it wasn't like a great lead-in to what we were going to be talking about. It's the truth. Like, you know, in the time that I've been around you, there is this total element of joy. And it's, you talked about it, it's like that light. And I see that in you. And it's funny, because even though Megan and I haven't known each other a very long time, in some ways we kind of go way back. So when Megan, are you ready to go back in time? Like when you were a chastity speaker, remember? I mean, gosh,
let's
I don't
go.
Yeah, I don't even know how old you were. So, well, Elizabeth is a sophomore in college, and she was either seventh or eighth grade. And she was kind of like an ambassador where she would go to these things. And I remember her coming home and she was like, Mom, this girl gave this talk, and oh my gosh. And you know what? yes, you were speaking on things that were really touching her, but do you know what the thing that she just hung on to? She said, Mom, right before she spoke, she prayed just this very soft whisper, come Holy Spirit. And it was like, that struck her. And
wow.
Yeah. And that stayed with her. And it's so interesting how these just seeds get planted all over. And that is just being that light of Christ, right? That courage to authentically live the way Christ has called you, authentically saying yes and all of that. And to me, that is joy, right? Because it's that rejoicing. We are rejoicing. And there is that pleasure in knowing the truth of why we exist, and we exist for Him. And, you know, but it's, you know, the world is broken. It's beautiful and it's broken. And we live in it, and we have to find accord with living in it. And, you know, to think about the study that you'd mentioned, I absolutely believe that. I think that there's kind of this unfettered access to so much stuff at such a young age. And there's this an expectation that's incredibly unreasonable at times. And Megan, I started to share a little bit of this story with you, just a bit of a challenging day. And my daughter in college called. She had a really rough day. A lot of things were falling apart in her life. Commitments were falling apart. And she was in a little bit of a panic. And I was like, it's all going to be okay. She's like, how do you know it's all going to be okay? And I was like, because God the Father loves us. It's all going to be okay. She's like, what if the internship doesn't come through? I'm like, then it's going to be okay. Because nothing is going to pass through the Father's hands that's not going to be a good thing for us. We might think it stinks, and it may make her suffer, but I want to trust the Lord enough and rejoice in Him enough to know that if that's what's going to be good for me, then that's good. It's just got to be good. So, you know, and those are hard conversations because, you know, she's 10 hours away from me having a meltdown. And, you know, I'm just like, it's all going to work out. Like, it's all great. And but you know what? And by the way, a couple hours later, you know, one thing got back on its feet and another thing was coming together. And I'm like, and she said, you know, I'm sorry that I got so worked up. I'm realizing that I just don't do well in the unknown. Right. I'm like, that's a really good, you know. And I said, yeah, but a lot of life is unknown. So the Lord will keep taking us there until we've reached that point that His grace is enough, no matter what.
Yeah,
His grace is enough. If the joy doesn't come in the way that we're expecting it, and we go back to Saint Teresa of Calcutta, like His grace was enough for her. For 40 plus 50 years, she lived off of that, right?
Amazing.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. So I think it becomes that choice, though, to your point, Megan, on that study. Like, people need to choose certain things. A lot of life is about that, like making this intentional. We talk about intentional discipleship, right? It's that call to be intentional. I think we have to be intentional with seeking joy and rejoicing in the fact that our Lord rose from the dead.
Amen. It really is so true. I mean, I think I've been struck a few times actually during this podcast, so way to go. I'm a participant. I'm not even listening and I'm still like, wow, this is great. So it is always, always very, very good to hear that no matter what befalls me, count it all as joy. And you mentioned, too, this expectation. You know, I think I've expected things in my life at this point that are not there. It's almost like I've made promises with God that He has not made with me. I've put words in His mouth. I've equated expectation with reality or even His promise to me, you know, He didn't promise me certain things. So that entitlement, it's like really difficult. I feel like I'm constantly in prayer of flipping child pouting and creating a disaster in the house. And He's like, are you really doing this again? Like, we just, we just cleaned this whole thing up and we just talked about it. And now you're ruining the living room again. but I do think it is like you said, like just that claiming, Lord, you are good. And I believe that you're my Father. And I believe that this is your will for me. And I believe that crap that happened to me today or this week that keeps happening to me that never seems to end is from you, because it's going to bring me closer to you and it's going to make me better in the end. And it really is kind of like this, not fake it till you make it, but claiming it despite the feeling and not acting on those feelings. I mean, the pity parties I've thrown myself have gotten me nowhere. Yeah. It does not breed joy. Gratitude breeds joy. Gratitude is a huge component too, and having a joyful life.
I have those same parties, by the way, those big pity parties. Yeah. Oh. And I mess up the living room a lot. No, I know what you're saying so much. And it's almost like, you know, the backside of the tapestry, right? You know, the side that's just the string sticking out and they're knots and they just don't make sense. But they are there for a reason, and they are building a really beautiful picture. And I can remember, actually, this was only just a couple years ago. We lost our seventh child at like 14 weeks. So we had just started telling people. And so I was, you know, just devastated. And one of my daughters at the time was like in seventh grade, but she crawled in my bed and she just was crying. And she said, "I don't understand why God would send us something so good and then just take it away from us." And you know, it took all of my power to not be like, "I know, right?" Like, I wanted to like cry that same. And like out of my mouth came something that was so the Holy Spirit, because I was in no place to think like this, because I was having a blowout pity party. And I said, "We all want to be saints, right? What if this is just part of that journey for us? You know?" And she's like, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "Look, if God came into our room, had like a family meeting, like we've got family meetings in our home, and was like, 'All right, huddle up. Like, here's the deal. You all want to be saints?' We're like, 'Yeah.' He's like, 'In?' We're like, 'Yeah.' Not one of my kids, none of us would be like, 'Well, we're kind of in, but why don't you tell me what the plan is first? And then I'm going to decide if I'm in.' No, we would be all in. We would be all in, and we wouldn't ask any questions. And it was like, we just don't know. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts." And it was, you know, as time kind of passed, I had this like epiphany. I was like, "Oh my gosh, do you guys realize you have a sibling in heaven?" And they're like, "What?" And I'm like, "No, like, you know, Mumsy died and she went to heaven. And when before Mumsy went, we said like, 'Hey, tell Jesus we love him and pray for us when you get up there,' you know?" But like they had their own DNA, the same source of love between myself and my husband in heaven. I was like, mind blowing. This is a blessing, right? That this baby in heaven is probably going to be able to do more for you now than they could have ever done for you on earth.
Wow.
Right? You know, hearing you talk a little bit about that party and we, that's our human nature. We're going to be in anguish over things. And sometimes when we're broken so much, there's only one way to look, and it's up. And if we can have that open heart, and like Becky, you said once, those empty hands, he'll fill it. And then we rejoice, you know, and we rejoice.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask a question, and this could be completely off topic and you can cut it and we don't have to include it. But so I'm having a little bit of a theological crisis. Not crisis, that's very dramatic. But so when we say that, okay, I've lost a baby too, and in that moment, or when bad things happen here, whatever, with my kids, I have a hard time saying that it came from the Lord, because death was not part of God's divine will. Death only came into the earth because of sin. So when I am thinking about, and I do believe that all things pass through his hands, but to get it confused with God gave me this suffering is to have in my, this is just how my logical brain is playing it out, is to mean that God gave me something bad. Instead of how I've been able to reconcile that in my own self is that in God's sovereignty, he does not allow anything to happen to us without, like when in Job, he says yes to Satan. But God is the Redeemer. Jesus is the Redeemer. And so through sin, the tragedy enters in. Through Christ, the tragedy is redeemed for his glory and for our good. So it's a semantics thing. It's just the wording of something. But am I wrong in that?
Well, I'm just want to make, and we're probably going to be cutting some of this out, but it's a good conversation. I just want to understand am I hearing you say that you think then death shouldn't exist because of the redemption?
No, I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is death wouldn't exist if it wasn't for sin.
Correct. That's right.
So to say that death or tragedy, the hurt, the suffering, the separation, that comes from God feels a little wrong. It just feels like
he allows.
But he allows it only to redeem it for his glory.
Correct.
And for
that's
good.
Correct. And that redemption might not look like anything what we wanted or what we imagined.
Correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Our redemption is always about us being redeemed.
Correct.
In holiness.
Yep. Yeah, that was my point of the journey to sainthood. If that's part of how we're being redeemed, then if we knew that part of the story, I think we would have all said yes to whatever his plan was. Mm-hmm. And if that meant taking a child to heaven for our redemption or for our sanctity, we would say yes.
Right. I just, when I hear somebody, and I hear it a lot when somebody else say, well, God gave me this suffering.
Did I say that?
Well, I can't remember who said it now, but that's our God. God gave this to me. God gave this. I hear it all the time. I'm not just saying in this conversation. This is a generalized statement. Mm-hmm. I hear a lot. And it always rubs me. And I just think, that's because, you know, I'm being a revert. I'm still trying to undo all the theology that I absorbed.
Yeah.
So many years.
Yeah. I did say in repeating Grace's words, why would God give us something and then take it away? Mm-hmm. And what I was referencing was that he gave us life and he gave us a new family member that we were excited for.
Right. And the scriptures say he gives and he takes away. Mm-hmm. So I know that it has to be reconciled. I'm just having a hard time reconciling it, I guess. That's my logical question.
It's interesting. I'm definitely like kind of wrestling through it too as you're asking. I think it's a really good conversation. And even like the death of someone, like, you know, the song Death Be Not Proud by Audrey Assad.
Right.
And I think that's from a prayer, right? Or like some reflection of a monk, I think.
Right.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I could be making that up. But I think I don't think it's Audrey Assad and Audrey Assad original.
Correct.
I love, you know, first of all, the song's beautiful, but Death Be Not Proud, Though the Whole World Fears You, you know, something like death, which is a tragedy. It's still in the bigger picture, I mean, we killed Jesus. Jesus was killed. It's still not the end. It's not the worst thing. And I think even suffering, like the view of suffering or tragedy is seen as bad. But I think C.S. Lewis said something like, people think the devil loves suffering, but he actually doesn't. The devil doesn't like suffering because it's a means to walk with Christ in the cross and to be so intimate with him in that suffering face to face, like a consolation in Christ, that you're picking the cross in joy and in a decision. You know, the joy is just the fruit. But it's not really actually talking directly about God giving suffering, but it's something that I have to think about as well. Like I can't fully wrap my head around it, or do I embody it by any means? I have so much work to, or just, I guess, grace that I need in order to live this. But I don't know. I don't know if anything that I'm saying.
I'm sorry, I just took us on a tangent.
No, sorry. That's okay. I think good. Becky, though, just kind of the I think there's twofold things that happen. There's certain wording that does, I don't necessarily think, fit in. I like the word allow. I think the Lord has always allowed suffering. I mean, you talked about Job. I mean, that was, we forget the beginning conversation, but God allowed that. God allowed suffering for his son to bring about a greater good. And so there is this sometimes mindset, yes, that people say, well, God gave me this. Like, I see what you're saying in that. There's also this, the deliverance ministry of Unbound, which I love, and we're going to have a podcast about and on. But, you know, there's something that happens in the Catholic world, people who really feel like, well, this is my lot in life. I'm meant to just never be well, and I'm just meant to suffer. And that's not true either, God, you know.
Yeah.
And so, and yet at the same time, there will always be seasons in someone's life where suffering is allowed, I believe, for a level of purification. And in my life and in my journey, different seasons of suffering that were very difficult honestly have shaped who I am today. A lot of it softened my heart. A lot of it's changed my lens. And I actually thank him now. I mean, I thank him for certain sufferings that I never thought in my life that I would thank him for. So, I think I even said that, like, you know, there's a tandem between suffering and joy, because I do believe that suffering, when it is united with Christ, does result in joy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, it is interesting that a lot of this conversation has been about suffering and, you know, it's a podcast on joy. And this episode's on joy. And I think it couldn't be any better. It couldn't be any more fitting, you know?
Right.
That ultimately, like, the union with Christ is the greatest joy. And he suffered. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I have a crucifix over my bed in the mornings when I'm not completely lazy, which is very rare. I'll pray, you know, I'll actually think this might be good for me. God might want to bless me. So I should pray, start my day. It's a great way to do it. And I'll get down on my knees and I'll look at the cross and, you know, there's this one prayer, just make my hand your hand, my feet your feet, may our hands journey together. And I look at him on the cross, and his arms are open wide. I'm like, wait, do I really want that? Because if my hands journey with your hands, I'm going to be hurt. And to think that he had joy on the cross in his agony and his even frustration, his human frustration to the Father. Like, where the heck are you? What have you done? Why did you forsake me? This is not how I thought it was going to be. I knew it was going to be hard, but it's so real. And, to know what he actually had ecstasy, like his heart was burning with love because this was the ticket for us to be with him. I just like, I can't even actually, as I'm talking, it's just so overwhelming. So then to apply that to our life, like I'm so thankful actually for this conversation with you girls, because this is calling me on. I've definitely been a spoiled brat the past week. Huge spoiled brat. Like, well, he didn't give me this, and this went wrong, and I don't have this yet, and I'm just going to be an old maid who has cats, and I can't even take...
Dude, you're throwing a party. You're throwing a party, aren't you?
Exactly. Exactly. And this is, you know, it's a blessed... I'm very blessed, but there's many little crosses in my life, and if I were to pick it up and look at it and kiss it and be like, all right, I'm looking at you, Lord, you're looking at me, we're doing this together. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I'd be a much more peaceful and joyful person.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, I think it's also interesting that, you know, we're recording this as we're heading into Holy Week and thinking about entering into the suffering with Jesus. This morning, Sam and I had like a hard workout, and on the erg, Megan, we actually got Megan on the erg one day, and we're going to get her back out there.
Sorry, Megan. I'm sorry, Megan.
Yeah. I know.
Thanks, Becky.
Yeah. And as like you guys know, you know, we pray for people with our bodies when we're working out. Like, okay, this is going to be really hard. This is going to hurt. You know, who's our intention? Who, what's your intention on this one? And we were doing five sets, and I had a specific person for the first one. And Sam had given me a picture of the scourged Jesus. And I had that right on the erg. And, you know, I'm pulling this chain. This is the part of the machine. And I'm just thinking of like him being whipped, you know, every time I'm pulling that, like in that. That my sins were a source of that. So all of a sudden, like, I couldn't even pray for the person that I said I would pray for. Like, I just had to go into suffering with him, and like every set was focusing on him. And yeah, that's what we're called to a bit in Holy Week. But I want to add another factor to that, is that we know the rest of the story. Like, he rose from the dead. Like, so my focus is the resurrection. Like, if I'm in suffering, I'm focusing on the resurrection. Right. And that's hard, but we know that. We know the joy in the resurrection. I mean, like, that's what makes our whole story amazing. That's what makes Christianity, Christianity. He rose from the dead. It is the resurrection. So through the suffering, it's the redemption, the joy, and the resurrection.
We are an Easter people. Yep. That's who we are.
Yeah.
So interesting you said that, though, Megan, about the that you really focused in on the scourging of Jesus. Almost like I physically just shivered. And it really gripped me. I mean, how often do I say that rosary? And those mysteries, but it really gripped me. And then I was going to do another time of the rosary. And it's funny you say that, Megan, about the resurrection, because I thought, okay, I cannot do the Sorrowful Mysteries again. I just can't. I can't. And so what's the next part? Well, it's the glorious. Mm-hmm. It's the resurrection. It's the hope. Well, Megan, when you were preparing for and you were thinking joy, what kept coming to your mind? You mentioned earlier a person. Is there anything else that comes to your mind?
I honestly just thinking about how empty I am right now. And I recalled a few times in my recent and not so recent past where people would comment or say, "You're so joyful, you know, you're just so joyful," in some of the darkest moments of my life, and how right now I'm empty, and that is, I don't think at all I'm like in a dark moment, you know. Mm-hmm. It's really my lack of emptiness is because I just need to be called on to pray, you know. And so it's my own like doing. It's like there's a buffet of food and I'm hungry, but I'm just sitting at the table watching everyone eat, and like you just got to go up and receive the food. Anyway, I don't know if that translated that analogy, but total tangent. I was thinking about how in my emptiness, like God, it's kind of like what you said or in the beginning of the podcast, Becky, that it is a gift. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and it's meant for all of us, but it's definitely like just him. It's just him in me, or it's him in St. Teresa of Calcutta or anybody, you know. It's just his presence alive. And it is kind of making me grateful that he's just so good and that he's just so faithful and that he can shine through sinners. It's like, what? You are present through me. It's like so humbling. I also thought of the verse from James. So it was funny when you mentioned it before the podcast, that was maybe a Bible verse that you guys would mention.
Well, one thing I noticed about you as I was preparing for the podcast, I don't know you as Megan knows you. And so she had sent me a little clip of you during an interview, and I just thought, oh my gosh, she's precious. The smile on your face radiates joy. So it's like a Saint Mother Teresa. She was dry on the inside, but she was radiating joy on the outside because she was allowing Christ to live in her.
Oh, that just cut right to the heart. Thank you so much.
And it's true. It really is. So I think we can find joy in that, in our receptivity and openness to allowing Jesus to live in us, no matter what might be going on internally, for us to then bring Jesus out into the world.
Wow. I'm very impressed how you summed up pretty much everything we just talked about in that one final conclusion statement. Oh. That was excellent.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Always. This has been like a total treat. I feel like I had a little night out, and we got to talk about really good stuff and laugh and feel your joy and lean into the joy that's available for all of us.
Yeah. You've been a joy. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you both so much.
Oh, Becky, I'm so glad you had a chance to hear Megan. Isn't she just so filled with like this radiant joy?
She's precious, and her smile is, it just truly fills you. Yeah, her words, her wisdom, it was a joy.
Yeah. And you know, what I thought was so interesting as we were chatting, Megan said it, she's like, yeah, the topic is joy, and we seem to talk a lot about suffering. There is joy in the suffering.
Mm-hmm. So I think we were all a little surprised that that is the way the conversation went. So, which is great, and why the scripture from James kept coming up between you and Megan. You, even before the episode, before we started recording, this scripture was on your hearts. So St. James tells us in chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, he says, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness."
Yeah, I love that. And I just maybe have a partiality towards James. I think he just says it like it is. And sometimes I really need that. And it is a great, great reminder, which pulls us to what our call to action of the week is going to be. And that is, can we make the choice for joy, knowing that it produces perseverance in our faith. And that means really, no matter what state we are in, internally, externally, most especially if they're suffering, can we make that choice for the joy? And that makes me think of another great quote by St. John Paul II. He says, quote, "Do not abandon yourselves to despair. We are Easter people, and hallelujah is our song." End quote. Love that.
Gosh, that's so good.
Right? Yeah. It's that, like we talked about with Megan, it's that focusing on the resurrection.
There was another saint quote that came to us, and you sent over and said, this is it. And of course, it's from our beloved Saint Mother Teresa. And she says, "Joy is prayer. Joy is strength. Joy is love."
Love it.
Yeah.
Thank goodness we have these good friends, these good saintly friends to remind us, to lead us into what joy is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Always seeking joy. Having our hands open, ready for the Lord to give us that gift of joy, the fruit of the Spirit. We can't manufacture it, but we can be patient and be steadfast, waiting for the Lord to gift us. And He's going to give us the grace to get through the day until we're bubbling over with joy and we just can't stand it anymore, which I think might actually be heaven. So, but anyway, we're so glad that you guys join us. Please don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can find us at thrivinginthetrenches.com. Of course, subscribe from your favorite podcast app, and our episodes will drop right into your little podcast app every Monday morning. And now that today we're in our Easter octave, I want to close with saying, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.